are back at it at the Men's ADHD Support Podcast. Really excited today about today's subject. We've been talking a lot about relationships in general lately, and it's really interesting how whenever we look into our community and see what the men with ADHD are discussing, we see a variety of issues with relationships, whether it's someone who's just looking for dating advice and looking to get into one, or somebody who has been in a marriage and going through a divorce, friendships. We see a variety of things, but it turns out one of the things that people with ADHD struggle with is domestic violence. Now, with domestic violence, I can't speak on this super competently with my own personal experience and knowledge. However, today, I'm actually going to be picking Shane's brain on this subject to hear what he has to say and what people with ADHD can do here to navigate such a thing. So to start off with, Shane, what is domestic violence?
Domestic violence is physical, mental, or emotional abuse within a relationship of people who are living together. It is most commonly looked at as a male versus female thing. However, we do know that 1 in 3 women deal with domestic violence and abuse, but we also understand that 1 in 4 men deal with domestic violence and abuse, mainly because while women deal with physical abuse the most, men deal with mental and emotional abuse the most, and that's often overlooked as a serious issue within our society.
Would you say that you've seen it pretty commonly as far as the men with ADHD that we work with? Like, it seems to be something that we struggle with quite a bit, and I guess I'm wondering, like, why is that?
A number of reasons. We get into relationships and we ignore a lot of red flags. We hyper-focus on the person, and we get super interested in them, and we essentially do a non-malicious form of love bombing, where because we've masked so long in our lives, we try to match the things that that person is looking for. And we find ourselves getting into these relationships with people that really love that initial attention that we give them. And it feeds into a lot of different types of personalities and types of different personality disorders, such as like narcissistic personality disorder. And that causes us to really, like I said earlier, ignore the red flags of those types of partners. And we get into the relationship and we're in the relationship for a while. And then we stop giving them the attention that they were needing from us. We also start relaxing, and a lot of our ADHD tendencies seem to come to the fore, and we start forgetting to do certain things. And a large amount of toxicity starts to build up between two people when one person is dealing with emotional dysregulation, especially with untreated, unmedicated ADHD, and the other person, even if they do not have some sort of personality disorder, are just intolerant of the change that has happened in the relationship, and there's no communication happening explaining why. All of a sudden, you go from this super loving and attentive partner to you apparently can't figure out where your keys are that I hung up for you. And you just seem really ignorant and, you know, essentially a child. And of course, these different relationship dynamics, there can be a lot of stress that builds up, and there can be a lot of frustration that can build up, and that dynamic really causes people to start lashing out at each other. And again, when you go back into emotional dysregulation, we can wind up having people really bouncing a lot of negative energy off each other, and that often turns into emotional and mental abuse. In these cases, it may also be like both people abusing each other in a really toxic manner.
It's interesting, especially the masking thing that you mentioned. That's something that I feel that I relate to quite a bit. And I know we talked about masking on the last episode that we did, and how common it is for people with ADHD. But when we're in this space where we find ourselves in this type of toxic relationship and experiencing these issues, like, what does getting out of it look like? Where do we start?
Well, you look at the issues that a lot of people with ADHD have. There's a lot of, well, we already blame ourselves for so much, right? We already lay all of the different mistakes that we've made, all of the different responsibilities and all of that stuff on ourselves, especially as men. And, you know, a lot of times gaslighting is a big part of it as well. And we are kind of easy to gaslight because our memory functions don't quite work as well as they should, right? Because we may not have been paying attention when the person asked us to do a certain thing, or when we are trying to do a certain thing, we get distracted by other things. And we don't want to use ADHD as an excuse or anything, but at the same time, we do want to assign the responsibility to the issue that we face and make sure that we are looking at it that way. And a lot of people don't look at it that way. They simply see a person who is, in their opinion, lazy, not listening, being irresponsible. And sometimes in the case of abusers, they will gaslight people because they know that they're not going to remember. And that they're going to be able to be manipulated in such a way to make the person feel horrible. And it's just a litany of other issues that people with ADHD face that make it very difficult for us to be in relationships with people who are abusive and know how to get out of that relationship. Because we don't want to be alone. And the other side of that coin is, what if we have children? We've compounded the issue at this point. And we want to be in our children's lives. We also know that our partner's probably going to try to rip us apart with child support or alimony or both. And we don't believe that men can be abused. That's a common misconception that's out there. You know, the statistics that I mentioned earlier, 1 in 3 women being abused, 1 in 4 men being abused, that's abuse in general, right? 1 in 4 women are physically abused. 1 in 7 men is physically abused. And that's a really scary situation. And if we grew up in a really traumatic childhood with abusive parents, then we think that that's how a relationship is supposed to be. And so generational trauma plays a lot into this factor as well. And everything is super overwhelming. All of this is overwhelming, and it shuts us down, and we just do not know what to do. We actually may know what to do. We know that we're supposed to leave this relationship, but we don't know how to leave the relationship. We can't quantify how to take those steps to move out of it and get into a happier place, because we don't think we deserve it. So now we're dealing with imposter syndrome. You know, so it's like a perfect storm of being trapped in a relationship and not knowing how to get out of it.
Yeah. It's crazy. I can kind of see the ways that I relate to it. And one of the things that I've seen helpful for me, because we talked about ignoring the red flags and it being pretty difficult to see how we're being gaslit and how it's easy to happen for people with ADHD. And I'm building the radar as far as catching that stuff a little bit earlier. It seems that it's something that's possible for us. I mean, it's something that I think I've gotten a little bit better at myself. But one of the things that I've found extremely helpful is having a safe space to talk about relationships and things like that, like having support groups, having a therapist. There have been times where I had been dating somebody and throughout the relationship, I didn't even realize what they were doing to manipulate me and how they were treating me and everything like that. But it wasn't until I talked about it with somebody who loves and cares for me. And they were like, bro, like, you need to step away from this type of person. Right. So it's interesting how when we speak about things, and we've seen it within our own meetings, where it's not until a member actually talks about it for the first time that they actually realize, like, oh shit, like, something's going on here. So I guess this is the power of therapy and not navigating things on your own, like we talked about in the last episode.
Yeah. And here's the thing, like, one of the first steps that most abusers take is like isolating you from your friends and your family, right? That's one of those first things, like, you know, I need you to stay at home. I need you to do these things here. Why do you keep going out with your buddies all the time? Or, you know, you don't need to go to therapy. Therapy is for pussies, right? That's one of those things that got a lot of guys have talked about, that their spouses tell them that they don't need to go to the doctor. They don't need to go to therapy. That's a huge red flag. Like, they take control over your life. They sit here and they dictate when and where you can go places. And this is super relevant to why they do that, is because if they know that if somebody looks at what's happening from the outside perspective, if this person has a support group that they can go to ask these kind of questions, that the abuse will start becoming very apparent, and that they will lose control. A lot of abuse in things like rape and stuff like that isn't about the actual act of rape. It is the control that they gain over the situation. And that's a fundamental aspect of abuse, is the control.
Now, leaving these scenarios, and a lot of it's easier said than done, but I've found in moments in which I have been with a partner who was not supportive of me and toxic for me, all these type of things, when I'm in the position where I make a decision, the decision of wanting to leave, my people-pleasing tendencies kick in big time. It would tell me that I shouldn't do this, like I'm making a big deal out of something that shouldn't be a big deal, even though it probably is. All these type of things. And again, to be direct here, this is a subject that it's new for me and something that I'm still learning in my own life. So I don't want to mislead or make it come across like I've got this all together when I don't. But I have found it to be really helpful to have support systems in place, like I mentioned earlier, but almost affirming myself that taking a step away from somebody, even if it does hurt them, if I'm walking away from something that is hurting me, that is affirming myself that that is a good idea. And I am absolutely worthy of a healthy and happy relationship. But the point I'm trying to make here really is my self-talk and just me hyping myself up as I make a difficult decision is something that makes a night and day difference for me and actually getting things done. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. And, you know, again, when we look at the tendencies for people who are abusers, another thing that they do is they start piling on top of that imposter syndrome. They keep taking advantage of that people-pleasing aspect of it by doing things where they keep putting you down constantly. And we need to understand, and for a lot of people out there, I do need to have this caveat as far as this is concerned. This isn't talking about singular instances where every now and then y'all snap off at each other. This is referring to behavior that is a purposeful pattern where a person has repeatedly done this over and over and over again. Even if you've tried to communicate that what they're doing is harmful, like even if you do have the tools to recognize it and you tell the person like, hey, this is my boundary. I don't deserve to be talked to this way, right? You're self-affirming your worth. You're saying like, I am a good person and I can't have you tearing me down all the time. And then they continue to keep doing that to tear you down further and further, right? They could even take control of the finances and use the finances over you, or ridicule you for not being able to make that much money, or point out that if you weren't in the relationship, then how are you even going to live because you're a man-child? And that tearing you down is also a part of the process, because they can't have you actually being able to do that self-affirmation either. And so all of the entire process of an abuser is to isolate you, tear you down, and then take control over you and your finances and your life, and limit what you can and can't do so that you're able to be at home and be that mental or emotional or physical punching bag.
Yeah. Completely relatable. So now, I mean, you already kind of touched into this, but somebody who's listening and is saying, like, wow, that is me. This dude is describing my whole life, and I am literally right in this spot right now. What are the first steps for this individual? Like, where should they go?
So the first thing that you need to be doing is you need to be making sure that you're reaching out to a domestic violence hotline. And there's a number of them out there. If you just look up domestic violence, the very first thing that you see is a phone number for it. But the other side of that coin is you really need to determine, like, what steps do you need to take? And if you're married and you're in a legally obligated relationship, it's complicated. You have to talk to a lawyer. You have to get support from a lawyer. And that's not always a viable option because of finances. Especially if you have an abusive partner who is controlling the finances. The other side of that coin is working your way into discussing and talking to a therapist about what's going on, right? Your partner may sit here and say something about you don't need therapy and things like that, but you still need therapy. And you need to have an opportunity to have a discussion with somebody about what you're going through. And if you can't have that, then you need to talk to your friends. This isn't something you should hide. But as men, we tend to do that because it's very shameful to admit that our partner is abusing us, whether we're gay or bisexual or pan or straight. It's shameful to talk about that my partner is abusing me. And we often laugh it off or joke about it or any other trauma response that we'll put out there. The other side of that coin is if you're married and you have kids, then you absolutely must have a lawyer. And you have to defend yourself through the legal system to make sure that they're not able to use the kids against you. And I need to be very clear on this, because a lot of men are out there going, divorce is traumatic for children. Yes, it is. It is traumatic for children. That being said, living in a broken home with one or both of their parents abusing each other is much more traumatic, and there's significantly longer lasting damage that can be done to a child's psyche living in that kind of household rather than a single parent or a temporarily single parent household who's dealing with divorce. And so that's really important to understand that. We just want to interject here with a request from all of our listeners out there. We are a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we are working very hard to bring you amazing content, support, and the resources that everybody with ADHD need to be able to manage things effectively. To that end, we'd love it if you could go to www.mensadhdsupportgroup.org/donate and consider giving us a donation. You can also find opportunities there to volunteer, to provide other services that we need to build the company. And if you can't volunteer or donate, please consider sharing our information to the other people out there in your life who may need our support and need to be able to have a community of other men who have ADHD who want to bring about a change in how we define masculinity and ADHD together. Thank you. Now back to our show.
Yeah, my mother and father were divorced, and as a kid, I mean, that was like the worst thing ever, no doubt about it. I mean, I hated every second of it. But now, like looking back at it, I couldn't even imagine like what it would have been like with my mother and father having stayed together, and the trauma that would have caused me. And I think the, part of the point that Shane is making is, and something that we always encourage, is that making a decision that is good for you, even if it's tough in the short term, is a decision that's also good for everyone around you. The way that I see it, it's kind of like if you're making the decision to stay in an unstable relationship or toxic relationship, and you're a father of a kid, and I don't see it being really easy to be the best dad you can be in that case. And again, none of us are perfect here, and we all have our own struggles, but we have to consider ourselves here. And our whole life of just putting other people first, you just have to do the work that involves putting that persona and that ideology down. And it's hard as fuck. I mean, difficult conversations. I hate every second of it, but we can do hard things.
Absolutely. And look, there's a couple of different ways that this is going to start going down certain paths, right? There's only so much as a person you're going to be able to take of certain behaviors before you either break and become completely submissive, or you're going to start lashing out and you are going to become the abuser. And when it comes to things like emotional dysregulation and other aspects of our ADHD, when it comes to that and our mental health, the problem comes into play when we do become abusive and we lash out and it's in retaliation. Now that person can then use it against us. And they do very often. If you leave me, I will take all of these pictures that I've taken of when you abused me to the police. I'll use all of these text messages that you sent me irate about something and where you were verbally abusing me to the divorce case. Here's the thing. If you're being abusive, your ADHD isn't an excuse for that. Like, you're being abusive. I did this. I am 100% owning that at one time in my former marriage, because I was constantly being abused by her, that eventually my emotional dysregulation got the better of me, and I would respond in kind. And that's where that toxicity building up constantly really hurts us, because we will then start retaliating. Now, I wasn't a physically abusive person, because that was like the bar I had set. I wouldn't have physically abused anyone around me because of what my dad did to me and my mom. But at the same time, I was not emotionally intelligent enough to be able to understand that emotional abuse and mental abuse can be just as deadly. And that buildup of frustration, that buildup of stress, that buildup of anger, that buildup of rage often comes out in these very explosive manners of response, where we lose control and we have an emotional dysregulation moment where we lash out at everybody around us, which could also include our kids. If they're the trigger point, if they're the thing that sets us off because they're being kids and we're so frustrated at our overall situation that they do something and we lash out at them. This is why it's so important to understand those red flags and recognize them for what they are, so that you are addressing the situation before you even get into that circumstance, because we often don't want to be that kind of person because we grew up in that kind of environment. But because we don't recognize those red flags, we find ourselves in those situations And we often can become the abuser to our abuser. And because we have often been taught that physical violence is okay, a lot of times that abuse turns into physical retaliation. It's just the bottom line of it. Like, and the longer you stay in these relationships, the more likely you are to start retaliating against the abuser. It's just a natural tendency. And that's the danger of domestic violence when it comes to living with mental health issues and like things like ADHD and or autism that's being untreated or unmedicated.
On this subject, that based off everything you described, again, I relate a lot, and it's just something, it's not something I feel super comfortable speaking on from an expert side of things yet. I'm just wondering if you have any final words that you'd like to share with our audience who's learning about this subject and wants to take the next steps.
Don't be ashamed if you're being abused. I know it's easier said than done, but talk to somebody if you think that you're being abused. Get somebody's objective feedback. Listen to your friends when they point out red flags in a relationship that you may not be able to recognize due to how you're feeling about the person. Remember, we feel things more. That means love and happiness and joy and companionship. We feel all that more. So we are often not going to be objective enough, especially with our self-awareness issues and social issues that we have, to be able to recognize those things. And so if somebody points out certain behaviors that your partner is really exhibiting, then you need to do your best to take a step back, look at it, and not commit to a long-term relationship with this person until you start seeing them honor your boundaries. If you don't know what your boundaries are, then you need to be sitting down with a therapist and really working through and defining what those are. If you're already in a relationship and what you're hearing is really resonating with you, especially if you're a man, go to our men's ADHD support group and open up a discussion about it and ask questions and get feedback and be as objective in the conversation as you can. You know, the whole purpose of us having the men's ADHD support group is to provide a safe place for men, whether you're gay, bi, straight, pan, doesn't matter, to have that space to ask those questions and get honest and caring and empathetic answers. And that's what we're here for. And if you're finding yourself isolated, if you're finding yourself not able to make a lot of friends, or that your partner's trying to control your friendships, or your partner's trying to control aspects of your life that you honestly need, such as like therapy, medical care, things of that nature, you need to be really, really, really evaluating that and moving away from it as soon as possible. If you're married, that means talk to a lawyer. If you're, you know, single, or if you're not married or anything like that, it means just walk away from the relationship. If it's going to heal, it will. But if it's not, then you're going to do yourself a favor. Don't stay in relationships where you're being abused. It's a waste of your time. And you deserve happiness, you deserve love, and you deserve respect. But you have to start by giving yourself those things.
My only two cents to add as to what Shane said is that we are really capable of living a life in which we respect ourselves and we achieve fulfillment. Not all the time happiness, because our ADHD will get the best of us and shit happens in our lives, but we can live a life of self-respect and doing things like walking away, seeing red flags are all difficult, but we can do hard things. And the only way to make it a little bit easier or more possible is if we get the support systems that we need in place. And I really, really appreciate you, Shane, sharing this all with us. And I thank everybody.
This has been brought to you by the Men's ADHD Support Group, a nonprofit 501c3 organization dedicated to changing the narrative about what it means to be a man living with ADHD. Copyright 2023.